Blog Talk Radio.
God's peace be upon you.
Verse 3.
The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own, and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the community-wide Shure Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
We're educating the unlearned in Scripture. We're raising you up. We're teaching you how to interpret the signs. We're purifying you and your people. We're instructing you in the sciences of Scripture so that you can have wisdom on how to establish a community life. And we guided you where before you were in manifest error, and we're going to do the same thing to those that come after. And we are witnesses to that. We were in manifest error. We were astray. We were off the mark. We didn't know the real God. No, not before we were Muslims. And those of us in the Nation of Islam. So we got hit twice. And then Allah sent his mercy to us and straightened it out. We were sold off God. And I'm not being critical. I'm being honest. So if you ask me what was the cause of the Civil War, I don't have to think hard about that. I just say slavery. And I said that to you all 2 weeks ago. I didn't know a political person was going to get in a bear trap. Just can't be honest with that. Well, it was about the government and about people being free. Well, we weren't free. What are you talking about? Just say it was slavery. Because that's what it was about. Whites wanted to own us and keep us to generate money for them. And the whites in the North, because it was between them, in the North wanted this labor to work in their factories. And they went to war over us. So we were sold. I said we hit twice. We were sold the wrong concept of God in America. Some of the African slaves, the descendants of slavery, they sold us just on the plantation, the wrong concept of God. So much so they made us worship. Worship the very people that had enslaved us. Evil that was. Make us worship them. So congratulations. I mean it sincerely. To our mayor here in Jacksonville, Florida, Mayor Deegan, applaud her, and the African Americans who pushed the issue. Applaud you for pulling down the symbols, monuments of slavery. Applaud you. Applaud you. Don't stop! You're on a roll. Roll up in the church on Sunday. I'm serious. So now that we've gotten rid of the Confederate symbols of slavery, let's take the big fella down. How much courage you got to do that? Well, who's the big fella? You remember that, yeah? Do I need to say it? That image of the European that was used as a psychological and they'll be our sacrificial lambs until somebody break that psychological chain. And the honor of Elijah Muhammad broke it. Only problem was oh Lord, let me keep going. He replaced it with another one. W.D. Farrar, Allah forgive me, spent in the Grand Paradise from India. And Imam Wahdi D. Muhammad had to come and do what the Prophet did, clear and clean out the Kaaba of false idols. Yeah, he came and did it. Said, no, what my father gave you all was only intended to be a counterbalance to what you had before, but that's wrong. That's false worship. Allah, be mindful of Allah's favors. That's Jumu'ah for 2023. Then it comes Fadlullah. Now remember the first one I gave you was Ni'matullah. And I gave you 10 meanings for that. This one is Fadlullah. F-A-D-L-U. Fadlullah. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. Such is the bounty of God. Bounty of Allah. فَضْلُ اللَّهِ. Now what is فَضْلُ? فَضْلُ means unlimited bounties. You can find it in the dictionary, page 429. To exceed favors that exceed the norm. Preferences, grace, blessings to excel. Yes, it's Fadlullah. So Allah, he gives his ni'mah to everybody. Everybody gets these favors that I talked about earlier. Ni'mah. That's why I've addressed mankind. But in that group of 7 billion people right now on the earth, there are some in the group that Allah gives Fadlullah. He calls them to excel others across the board. Everything, you can name it. Business, culture, education, religion, whatever it is. God put on them and elevate them from among the 7 billion. But everybody gets ni'matullah. Everybody gets God's favors. But then he selects from the mass certain ones that he, I'm going to give you something special. Give you a special blessing. Now, I don't think I need to tell you all here in Jacksonville and in America that God has blessed us with his special funding to give us, oh buddy, at a much higher level to put in our hands again Quran. Muhammad the Prophet's life that was taken out of our hands on the plantation. Allah has deposited it back in our hands. But listen, he didn't just give us back what we had. No. He gave us more than what we had in Africa in terms of understanding and insight. Blessing us with the now WD Muhammad. That's not an emotional statement. That's a fact. Yeah. And if I had the time, I could just go down and just say, how God has blessed us. Be mindful of Allah's favors. Not just in 2023, but what has happened to us over 33 years in America. And yes, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad got it started. He and WD Farrar got it started. That the children, the descendants of these slaves, that you took their religion from them, took the Quran from them, took Muhammad the Prophet's life from them, oh, but I'm going to give them my husband and something. It going to get under the law. I'm going to give them the sciences, and I'm going to give them and I'm going to give them cat wheeling. I'm going to bless them in a way that their forefathers back in Africa weren't blessed, because they have gone through so much drama and trauma. So we've been fortunate and blessed in these United States of America. So let's take what God has blessed us with. All over the country, and I'm not just talking to you all here. I'm talking to people around the United States. And some are doing it. And establish for ourselves. And don't give up on it. Model community life all over these United States. Allahu Akbar. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها المسلمون again dear brothers and sisters here in Jacksonville those of you who are joining us on YouTube live. And by the way, if you're on YouTube, please subscribe. Hit that subscribe button. It doesn't cost you anything. Those of you all on Meta or Facebook, StreamYard, Jumu'ah Conference Line, greetings to all of you again. And to our Christian friends, family members, wishing you the best holidays, seasons, greetings to you. And shalom to our Jewish friends. I know you're some of you have expressed to me your hearts are heavy also seeing what's taking place in Gaza. And we pray for the best outcome and situation soon, not over a long period of time, soon. So now we are, assalamu alaikum. So now we are switching or changing the focus for the second part of the Jumu'ah, the last for 12/29/23, the year 2023. And happy early new year to you, because that'll be Monday. We won't see each other until next Friday, inshallah. So happy early new year to you. We want to extend congratulations to our new brother, world famous lightweight boxing champion, Javante Davis, embraced that Islam last Sunday in Maryland, at a masjid in Maryland. So we say congratulations, Brother Javante. I think they call him Tank or something. Yeah, Tank is Muslim now. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, you can find him on YouTube, and it talked about, and he said, I want to be like Muhammad Ali and Mike Tyson. Both of them embraced that Islam as boxers. I want to come on over to Al-Islam. So welcome, Brother Tank, Brother Javante Davis, to the community. Lightweight champion, welcome to the community of Muhammad the Prophet. Prayers and peace be upon him. So we pray Allah bless your journey and Al-Islam to be successful. Now, in conclusion, I'm going to read from this book. I've read from it before, but this is the last Friday of 2023, so I'm going to conclude with this. The Mystery of Capital by Hernando de Soto. And you know this is one of the books, one of my favorites, that Shaw recommended that we read. And I'm sure Raheem is pulling it up on the screen for those of you all who are watching us live. On pages 148, paragraph, and I'm going to give you a real life example of this. Second paragraph from the bottom, page 148. For developing, now we're talking about how America, so you know what I'm reading is, how America established itself and became a powerful economic nation. An economy, now I have the data, I'm going to give you out there. Read this. The United States economy is booming right now. Okay? But what is it attached to, and how did they get to this point? I've read some before, but listen to this. For developing and former communist countries trying to make their own transition to capitalism, the American experience is extremely significant. The recognition and integration of extra-legal property rights, and I'm reading this, pay attention to what's happening in the world now. Those of you all around the world, what's happening in Gaza, the displacement of about 2 million Palestinians coincides with the historical displacement of Native Americans in America. History repeating itself. The recognition and integration of extra-legal property rights was a key element in the United States, squatters, settlers, becoming the most important market economy and producer of capital in the world. As Gordon Wood emphasizes during this time, quote, something momentous was happening in the society and culture that released the aspirations and energies of common people as never before in American history. That momentous something was a revolution in rights to property rights. American property changed from being a means of preserving an old economic order to being instead a powerful tool for creating a new one. The result was the expanded markets and capital needed to fuel explosive economic growth. This was the, quote-unquote, momentous change that still, to this day, drives the U.S. economic growth. Now, where's that growth? From the Federal Reserve. This is reason. GDP, gross domestic product, growing at a rate of 4.9%. That's explosive growth for the United States of America. Inflation, down to 3.1%. Oh, and by the way, mortgage rates are beginning to drop. Yep. From a high of 8.5, almost 9. Now, this might not mean something to some of y'all, but I'm talking to people all over the country, all over the world. The rate's down about 6.5. That means investment dollars. That means the faucet is being turned back on for investment dollars, just for developers. Okay. Unemployment, 3.7%. Now here's what you can connect with, most people. Average gas price is $3.13 a gallon. That means all the travelers went away for Christmas, coming back, New Year's, still on the road, traveling, some drove over 140 million people. They're finding they get to keep a little more money in their pocket when they pull up to the gas tank. That's what a booming economy that's established upon property rights as its foundation that created this economic burst, gross domestic product at 4.9%. Now, for those of you all that have jobs and work in the corporate sector, your 401k, stock market, S&P 500 has increased 24% this year. So you should see that reflected in your 401k. All right? Things are getting better in America. However, I think I shared this with you either last week or week before. The misery index, which I didn't know was a thing, how miserable people are feeling. I did a program, I participated, I was a speaker for the year-ending, and this is, we get ready to make a lot, the year-ending program on Study Out of Love. And you know what it was on? I did part one last week. Faith over fear. this language comes from Scripture. Well, Allah said in the Quran, dear brothers and sisters, the believers, and those of you all out there in our social platforms, of the believers, of the people who have faith, لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَعْزَنُونَ. And the believers, the faithful people, they will not be afraid. They are not paranoid. They are not afraid in the society. Oh, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my life? What's going to happen to my business? No. You keep doing what you got to do. You keep working in the cause of God, and you keep building your company. You keep building your business. You keep building your career. Don't be afraid. So they tell you the misery index is high. Allah says, well, at whom yes said no, and nor shall you be miserable. So they got to kick us out of that misery index. Think on us. I'm not miserable? Well, what? I pray 5,000 a day as much as I can. So how in the world I'm going to be miserable? Can't happen. I'm sorry. I mean, you can be as miserable as you want to. I don't know. Yeah, that's you. I'm just telling you. I, Imam Yahya Abdullah, is not paranoid, and he is not miserable. Your son didn't call you a while. And? It don't make me miserable. I got him in prayer. Allah is their created Lord to say he is mine. No. And if you believe in God, I'm speaking to us here and all of y'all out there. If you believe in God, God is saying, God said, no, don't let the sin destroy your spirit and disturb your spirit and you they measure and you in some misery index. Be mindful of Allah's favors on you. You're alive. Did you wake up this morning? Huh? I started this by saying some of the people that started when I was on January 1st, 2023, not here on December 29, 2023. We've done a number of analysis in here, and we've attempted some, too. God rest their souls and grant them paradise. But some began with us, won't conclude with us. Huh? Well, we're still here. Only by God's grace. Now let me share with you a sister as we pray. She ain't no misery index. Her name is Terry Johnson. Now the reason I'm sharing this because she has a different take on something. I said, what? This is different. Terry Johnson's parents saved up $50,000 for her to spend on her dream wedding. $50,000 on a wedding. You know what this sister did? Terry told her parents she wasn't getting married. No, listen, this is funny. I like the way she thinks. Young sister, right here. She told her parents she wasn't getting married. She convinced them to give her the $50,000 anyway to start her business. Now her company has sold over, but $2 million in candles because she wouldn't spend the seed money on luxury items getting married. Told her husband, you old up. I ain't spending this $50,000 on no marriage. I'm going to invest in that Holland Candle Company. Look it up. That's the name of the company. Our sister Terry Johnson took her $50,000 that her parents gave her to get married, and she said, no, I can't spend 50 G's on a wedding. I'm going to invest $50,000 in my business. And now she has a multi-million-dollar candle business, Harlem Candle Company. Rabbina atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fid akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Our Lord grant us the best that this life has to offer us, and grant us the best that the next life has to offer us, and save us from the punishment of the fires of sins. And O Allah, out of your mercy, please reduce and eliminate this gun violence in these United States of America. And, O Allah, out of your mercy, please bring an end to the war in Gaza and bring peace and relief to our Palestinians and the innocent Israelis. And I mean, it promised a lot.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, Hayyala Salat, Hayyala Salat, Hayyala Fullah, Hayyala Fullah, Hakamatu Salat, Hakamatu Salat, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Now you all look at your lines and you're in the line. You're obligated to keep that line straight. Those of you all on the right, check your right. And then those of you all in the row, the second row, back up a little bit. That second line, you all back up a little bit so you have some room to make your sejda. Step up a little bit, fine. Okay, we good. Those of you all joining us on Facebook, YouTube, StreamYard, Jumu'ah Conference Line, you're on the East Coast. I say this every week. We have new people every week. If you're on the East Coast in Central Time Zone, you can join us in Salat. Those of you all on the West Coast, it's okay if you want to join us for prayer, but as you know, your prayer coming in a little later. Allahu Akbar, Bismillahi Rahman al-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman al-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din, Iyaka Nabudu wa Iyaka Nasta'in, Ihdina Siratul Mustaqim, Siratul Ladina Namta Alayhim, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. الله أكبر. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا ضالين آمين. قل هو الله أحد الله صمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سمي الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. تقبل الله. May Allah accept our prayers. couple of announcements. This coming Sunday, our sisters put together a brunch, 12:30 to 3:30 p.m. This is a brunch, food where on the 31st, the ending of the year, community members, those of y'all who like to come out for the brunch can do so. Is there a call for the brunch, Sister Lizette? Is there a call for it? No charge? Okay, so food is free. So come back to 12:30 on Sunday for the brunch. All right? Those of you all who didn't make your contribution when you came in the door, please make a contribution before you leave, because we do have expenses here. Those of you all online with us, please go to our website, alislamworldwideministry.com. Click on the donate button. We appreciate your support this year, 2023. Thank you all very much, those of you all who supported us. You can donate online. If you'd like to support our ministry by mailing in a check, please do that. Al Islam Worldwide Ministry, P.O. Box 3204, Jacksonville, Florida, 32206. We thank all of you all. We appreciate you. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you in the upcoming new year with good health, success, long life, prosperity, all the good things. And by the way, as I said, happy new year to you coming up on Monday. We have had so many of you join us for the Jumu'ah prayer throughout the entire year. And we appreciate that here in Jacksonville, Florida, as we promote the language, the teachings, the insights of Imam Wahid bin Muhammad of the Quran and the life of Muhammad the Prophet. Now, an announcement that I didn't want to read in the Jumu'ah because it wasn't appropriate. I had to wait for the announcement. Sugar Bowl weekend! Sugar Bowl! Sugar Bowl! Sugar Bowl! To Muhammad! To Muhammad, Malik Muhammad, my grandson, inshallah, played for Texas Longhorns, number 5, at the college playoffs in New Orleans. My nephew, Jabbar Muhammad, number 1, their first cousin, played for the Washington Huskies. So that game will be on 8:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday night. In New Orleans. I'm headed to New Orleans. I'm out of here. I'm going. I got to get over there for that. It's history. Two young men that I watched from the time they were born in the Masjid, Islamic Association of Soto, Texas. Good Muslims, alhamdulillah. Both out of the same Masjid in DeSoto. So we're going to have two Muhammads in the playoff, and one of those Muhammads will be in the national championship game. One of them. We don't know. So you all tune in Monday night, 8:45 Eastern Standard Time, the Washington Huskies versus the Texas Longhorns. My grandson and my nephew will be playing on the same field. Inshallah, I plan on being there for this game. All right? So I wanted to share that with you all. Whoever wins, Muhammad wins. There's a Muhammad that's going to win. So you all, thank you all for your support out there. Some of you all on Facebook sending some really kind, some kind comments and kind remarks. Join us next week, same time, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 Friday prayer. Assalamu alaikum.
As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. The praise is due to Almighty God, Allah, Juma Mubarak. May we all share in the blessed Juma on this day of Juma. Praise be to Allah. We are grateful to Imam Yahya Abdullah and the community of Muhammad's Masjid of Jacksonville, Florida, for sharing their Juma with us here on America's Muslim 360. I hope that the reception was clear. I'm using another function in order to broadcast the Juma. If it was clear, press 1 on your phone and let me know, please, so I can continue to utilize this system that I've come up with. Okay. All right, 718-642. Assalamu alaikum. Am I being heard? Okay, I'm going to open up the mic of Muhammad Sharif. I'm Christy. You'll let me know. Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad Sharif.
Walaikum assalam. This is Brother Yaki Abdul Ali.
Assalamu alaikum.
We still got the 914 number. You're close but not least. But I'll good to hear your voice, brother. Man, it's been a minute. Yeah, I did not make it to Juma today. I wasn't feeling that well. And I said, well, let me tune in. You know what I mean? So I'm glad I did and stuff like that. It was excellent. Quick ball. And I really appreciate the American Muslim 360 and Community Shiro Conference. So, you know, may Allah continue to bless us to keep up his good work. May Allah continue to bless us to keep moving forward. I really appreciate you, brother. I love you. Love this community, and Allah has his hand on this community. We cannot stop now because we won't stop now. And, you know, we're really blessed and highly favored for Allah to have chose us to be, you know, chose to be Muslim and chose us to be in this association, chose us to do this work. That's a tremendous privilege, you know, that Allah has blessed us with. So I just wanted to say that to you, brother, man, and I love you. And may Allah continue to bless us all.
I love you too, Amin. I love you too.
Shukran, Zakallah. Alhamdulillah. Have a blessed day and have a great new year, everyone. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Amin. Praise be to Allah for your words of enlightenment and encouragement. Praise be to Allah. Okay. We shall transition now to the commentary of Imam Warithuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi. And I have made a selection that I believe is appropriate in connection with what is happening concerning human dignity and not giving up the dignity of being a human being. Imam Muhammad gives an address entitled, Don't Be Afraid. Don't be afraid to die to protect your dignity. This was from the year 2001. It was a Muslim convention by Imam Warithuddin Muhammad. May we all enjoy, learn, take note, and follow the leader, Muhammad, and our beloved Imam Warithuddin Muhammad. I bring you now this excerpt from the Muslim convention. Don't be afraid to die to protect your dignity. You know, people are asking, well, how come the Palestinians, why don't they just leave? It's deeper than that, much deeper. There are some things worth dying for. If you have nothing to die for, then you have nothing to live for. So praise be to Allah. We're going to begin this address. Let me see. Let me cue it up. Oh, come on now, computer. Okay, here we go.
For the same reason that blacks went to Jesus Christ, Christians, black Christians, African-American Christians, went to Jesus Christ, why did African-American Christians in the past go to Jesus Christ? Because they had no other friend with power that was working to protect them. So they went to Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ given to them as a friend, their friend. We went to Mr. Farhan Muhammad, the teacher of my father, who was not an American. He came from afar. We went to him because he said he was our friend, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us he was our only friend, that nobody else wanted us. That's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us. So we went to him, but we went to the temple, or to the temple of Islam, or to the mosque that later called, in the early 50s started calling it mosque. For the 30s, for the 40s, it was not called mosque, it was called temple, not mosque. We went to that because we needed a friend. And the teaching of my father restrained us and made us feel that we, for once, had a powerful friend. And we didn't care what he called his God. He could have said Allah. He didn't have to say Allah. He could have said Ha-Ha-Law and told us that man loved us, or that God loved us and came to sympathize with us against our oppressors, against those who discriminated and segregated and brutally treated us, inhumanly treated us. He could have got us to love Mr. Allah. Don't care who it was. We didn't know the name Allah. It could have been anything that he said to us. As long as he showed us what he showed us, love, concern, and that a powerful divine power was on our side, we would embrace it for the same reason that Christians suffering oppression, discrimination, segregation, and inhuman conditions on the whites back then embraced Jesus Christ, their friend, their savior. Are you hearing me? I hope you are. Because this is necessary to get us where we have to go. Slavery uprooted us. This is given to us by many authors writing on slavery and how the slavery took us, enslavement of our people on these shores, took us from Africa, caused us to eventually know hardly nothing of Africa, and then gave us a picture of Africa that was false. Tarzan, a white man in Africa, and all the Africans were nothing but like baboons and monkeys. That's the picture of Africa we were given in this country 50 years or less ago. Okay? I used to be in the theater not 50 years ago, less than that, sitting with our people, Christian African American, Christian black, and seeing them laugh. Tarzan making a fool out of Africa. Thank God that day is gone. We were uprooted from our cultural life. To have a situation for spiritual fulfillment, we have to have a sense of ownership. Ownership. Every religion, the great religions I'm speaking of, they came to strengthen the people they were calling, that those religions were inviting to come to God, came to strengthen their sense of personal worth, individual human worth, and their sense of entitlement to great things. Their sense of possession of great things. Their sense of ownership of great things. The Jews say God said to them, God told them that they were owners of land. And not just 1 acre, a good, big, wide expanse of land. And Islam comes to tell all Muslims, the earth belongs to God. And God made it for you and all the people he created. And he says, then seek with what God has made available to you, the promised home in the hereafter. But don't forget your share of this material world. And don't forget your share of this material world. That's what God tells us. So Allah gives us a sense, a strong sense, of possession, ownership, as his trustee. We know the earth belongs to God. Allah says the earth belongs to him. And the earth is the masjid, a mosque, a place of worship, means the whole earth was created by God to be a place of obedience to him. That's what it means when he says the al-ardu masjid Allah. When he says the earth, the whole earth is the mosque or the place of worship for God. He's saying that he made this whole earth to be a place for us to worship him. With our hearts, with our spirit, with our hands, with our skills, with our knowledge, with everything we do, we should be worshiping God. And if we do it according to the best motivations and the best sensitivities in our human makeup, we will be pleasing God with everything we do. He made us to please him with every act, with every devotion, with every interest. He made us by human nature. He made us to please him. Praise be to Allah. There is the mystic, the great mystic, the love who love God so much that they don't have much time for the world or hardly any time for the world. Such great minds, pure creatures. They have shared with us this thing that God said. I was a treasure. I was a treasure to be discovered. I was a treasure to be discovered. So he made, he created people. He created human beings with freedom of thought, with freedom of mind, with freedom of spirit. Because he knew by freeing his creature would be able to use his human intelligence and study and search the creation of God, and would finally acknowledge that no man could do this, no force in the heavens and the earth could do this. There was a God behind it all, and he would discover his God in time. God knew that when he made his man, his woman too. Praise be to Allah. In our nature, in our natural appetite as clean, pure humans, we have a hunger to discover God. To discover God. And he have made this beautiful world of his, as the prophets say in the Old Testament, they behold the wonderful, the wondrous handiworks of God. And by his work, by the beauty of the stars and the heavens at night, and by the wonderful things, plants and animals, and the beautiful streams, the water running through the land, they know by all of that art and beauty and power that there is an artist behind it all. That artist is God. Yes, man was made and created and given freedom, and given the freedom to study and work and be curious and examine and re-examine and imagine so that he would discover God. Isn't that wonderful to know that we were created to discover God? And why we need to discover God? We need to discover God because we can't manage this human life by ourselves. It will wear us out. It will wear us out. It will wear our parents out. It will wear the children out. This human life cannot be managed by us alone. We need the one that made it, designed it, and gave it to us as a cross that trusted us with his own creation. So God says, the greatest and most productive power comes when you reflect on God. When you remember God and think on God like the thinkers did that came to be the seers and the prophets of old, that the greatest power is in thinking and reflecting on God. Remembering God and reflecting on God is the most productive force. We as a people, in our very nature, we knew was no help from us in the South under the white slave master, except to please the slave master. So we did whatever we could to please him. Someone said before me earlier here that we didn't rebel. Well, young man, I want to tell you, we did rebel. Nat Turner fought to free us from slavery, and he knew he couldn't do it. But he knew he was going to be killed, but he was ready to have a demonstration that would put something on the mind of the white man, that all your blacks will not take this and keep their mouths shut. We will fight you and have you kill us if you want to, but we will not accept this indignity. We will not accept this humility. We will fight you. We are not brute animals. We are human beings just like you. And Nat Turner fought them, and they killed him. And there was others who rebelled, too. Their leader was a white man. And America called him crazy. He wasn't crazy. He was so good and so determined to tell the white Americans in the world that it's not accepted under God that you dehumanize these people and treat them like beasts and brute animals, to do your work and tell them that they are not godly and tell them that they are subhuman. He said it's not right. And John Brown went out with a few rebel blacks, and he fought his own people so that we would be free one day. John Brown, a white man. I love him. I love him. I pray that his soul is in heaven. We have to get it straight. All right. Nat Turner, Frederick Douglass, Sojourner Truth, all of these, and many others that I'm not mentioning, Ida B. Wells, Ida B. Wells, and many other men and women, put their life on the line, made great sacrifices, struggled with us to get us up on our feet in dignity and in self-respect with all other human beings on the same level of human essence with them. Yes, they did. They worked hard and they lost their lives, many of them. Elijah Lovejoy lost his life, and many others lost their lives. But they didn't stop. They didn't stop because they were being killed. Right behind that one would come up another one, sometimes two or three at one time, some preaching in the Midwest, some preaching in the North, some preaching on the East Coast. They just kept popping up, ready to die. And knowing that they were going to be killed, knowing that they were going to be killed. Look at the Jews that went down south and protest segregation with us. Men and women lost their lives. They knew they were going to be killed. But God has put in us a true creation of his, the human creation, not in the world mold, not in the world style, not in the world pattern, but in the pattern God gave, the pattern of Adam, the first man that was pure in his nature and in his pattern. God has put that in every one of us, black, white, brown, everybody. You can't mistreat one of us and the rest of us like it. There are going to be some among us that are going to join the black, join the white, join the red, join anybody that's human in their defense against you. And we'll be ready to give our life. We don't give a damn about our life when it comes to the life of humanity. When God bless me to have your support, and I became your leader. Those who thought that they could make us back up and give it up after the honor of Elijah Muhammad sent word by a messenger to me. And here was the word. Minister Wallace, Chief Minister, we have gotten word from someone, some people. They said, don't go out of the house today. You'll be killed. I got so angry instantly. I said, tell them I had no plans to go out of the house today until you brought me this message. Some of you may say, well, you're foolish. You want to be killed? No, I was wise, and I knew how not to be killed. If I had showed fear, they would have killed me. Either by killing me outright or making me so afraid, they could tell me when to go out and when to stay in. I can't live that way. I've had freedom, human dignity, and freedom in my body ever since I can remember. I was never a fool. I was never a coward. And I was always a person that wanted freedom, and I was always ready to die for it. Even as a child, I was ready to die for my freedom. And I couldn't make myself that way. It took the Nation of Islam, that environment. It took the honor of Elijah Muhammad, his boldness. It took all of that. It took his teacher, W.D. Farad or Farad Muhammad. It took all of that to make the person I am. A person that believed my word is bond, my bond is life. I will give my life before my words have failed. A person that says, I will face hell and death rather than give up my dignity. You hear what I said? I said I'm a person that will face hell, hellfire, and death, eternal death, before I give up my dignity.
Alhamdulillah. That was a short excerpt, but it's so on point. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. There's supposed to be a part two, but I don't think it's available, unfortunately. Let me see. Yes, praise be to Allah. So I want to visit the studio board, see if anyone has any commentary they would like to share on the subject matter. Let me say Imam Yahya Abdullah's Juma Khutbah, his theme was, be mindful of Allah's favors. Be mindful of Allah's favors. That was Imam Yahya Abdullah's subject matter for the first part of his khutbah. Be mindful of Allah's favors. And with the excerpt that we just played, do not be afraid. Do not fear. Do not be afraid to die for your human dignity. There are three holy sites that are connected with Muslims and Islam. And we fight to hold those sacred sites. We know there's a lot of turmoil going on in what they call the Middle East. The Muslims were not allowed to enter the Al-Aqsa Masjid in Jerusalem for their prayers yesterday. We know they have entered the Al-Aqsa Mosque and opened fire on worshipers. When it comes to the Kaaba, we defend it with our lives. When it comes to the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, we defend it with our lives. When it comes to the Prophet's Mosque in Medina, we defended with our lives. Muslims from all over the world were coming free. Mecca were coming free. The Prophet's Masjid in Medina and the Al-Aqsa Masjid, the place of the ascension of our beloved Prophet Muhammad into the seven levels of heaven. Praise be to Allah. So I wanted to share that with us so that there are things that we are willing to die for. If you have, as I said earlier, if you have nothing to die for, then you have nothing to live for. So I just wanted to make those statements. Praise be to Allah. Now I want to share with you another address of Imam Muhammad. Let me see now. Oh, boy. There's only part two for that. Let me see. Hold on, please. Mm-hmm. Praise be to Allah. Okay. This is part two of the address Imam Arthur D. Muhammad, New Africa. We cannot stop now. Let's see if I can locate part one, inshallah. These are not arranged in sequence, unfortunately. But we do look forward to arranging them ourselves, inshallah. Okay. Let me see if I can find it. Okay, hold on one moment, please. I'm grateful for everyone's patience with me as we navigate this technology to give presentations. Praise be to Allah. Okay, I think I may be on to something here. I put it in the search engine. Okay, let me see now. I see two listings here. Oh, no, that's part one. Let me see. Let me check the other one.
What I'm going to say and be discussing, I'm going to say it plainly to you right now. We went to Islam for the same reason.
No, that's still part one. I don't think we have part two available, unfortunately. I'm looking through my files here. I don't see it. Well, inshallah, we'll work on that for a later date, inshallah. I only have part two of We Can't Stop Now. I really want to play that. Because it's so essential as we putting forth effort to establish our community life. I'll just go ahead on with the amount of time we have left. We've got about a half an hour to go. And I think part two of We Can't Stop Now will fit that time schedule that we have left. So I want to share with you, We Cannot Stop Now.
And thank God we're in great America that defends freedom of thought. I can choose the temple. I can choose the church, the Muslim mosque, or the church. I can choose what I want in America as long as it's decent and honorable. I can choose what I want in America. In fact, I don't have to be decent and honorable. There's just a law to catch me and hurt me or punish me and take my money. But I can be an Al Capone. I can be a Marcy the Todd. I can be anything in America. And thank God we have freedom of choice. And thank God we still have the human nature in us that God made us. Our choice is excellence. Our choice is righteousness. Our choice is to be God's servant. We have recent publications by beautiful authors letting us know that all of us can come over here as enemies or worshippers of our spirits, of our ancestors, or worshippers of idols in Africa. And all of us can come over here as Christians In fact, Christian America never wanted to believe that they were bringing Christians from Africa and putting them in bondage here. They didn't want to believe that. So they didn't want to accept that the slave traders would bring Christians from Africa here. So if they didn't like that, they didn't want to enslave Christians, then who are we the children of? We're the children of idol worshipers, animists, spirit of parent spirit worshipers. Are we Muslims? One or the other. So these books, new books, they document that many Muslims were brought to America and enslaved here. Then that is that you want to know, that you like it enough, you may not want to be a Muslim. But many of you who are not Muslims, you have a natural hunger and urge in your soul and in your spirit to be reconnected with what you were cut off from. Dr. Eric C. Lincoln, he said in his studies, he's a great theologian, a great African-American theologian, he said that he believes strongly that there is a genetic, Islamic genetic memory in black people. That means you don't remember it, but your genes, your flesh, your body remembers it. Your body still remembers that you were once Muslim. Your body, your human body with the genes from your fathers in it, still remember that you were Muslim. And that's why you have an interest in Islam. That's why you have an interest in Muslim. Many of you, not all of you, and that's why you are happy when you become Muslim. And you can wait until you learn Islam. You don't mind. Inside your body, the genes are shouting, I'm back again where I was before, in Islam. Your mind can't doubt and stuff. You don't know Islam yet. But I have learned Islam, and I shout with my whole being. Blessed mind, soul, and spirit. They're going to put us out of here. I see your stuff, but I'll build on that. I'm trying to skip over things that are less important and get it done quickly because I don't want them to turn the lights out on.
Yeah, I'm pausing now. I'm checking the studio board, and I see someone has raised their hand, and I want to answer that raised hand. Air code 401-258. At Alhamdulillah, please state your name and where you're calling from. Juma Mubarak. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Angela Marie. So what we forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
I can hardly hear you, my sister.
Hear me now? Can you
hear
me now?
Yes, praise be to Allah. Yes, Angela. Thank you. That's much clearer.
Assalamu alaikum. I want to say that the whole wala kawata illa balahi wali was me. Allah subhanahu all the control, all the power over everything. Allah is Al-Mazir. Allah is where he's clear of things. Allahu Alam, he knows everything that's going on over there in Palestine. Guess what? Allah is allowing it. That's what we don't understand. Allah was not allowed. Sure, it's steady. Sure, it's that calamity happens.
Angela, you are breaking up, my sister.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, yes. Now, when you know, right now, you are sounding complete a full sentence. Then I'll know whether we have a clear reception.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. But we forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees and knows all that's going on over there in California. Aware of it. So allowing it to happen for his so no. Just like he allowed slavery and all other commands. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to I don't know what we do about it, but when you're disobedient, I just call me back orb of powers all over the world.
Angela, you have a bad reception, my sister. I don't know what you can do to correct it, but your voice is falling. Yes, why alaykum as-salam, Angela Marie. You know, we as Muslims, we are not fatalists. We are not to there is action that we are called to implement. Allah says to us from the glorious Quran, if he did not set one set of people against another, then churches, mosques, and synagogues would be overran. So the human being has his part to play, affecting those sites to protect that which is sacred, to protect that which is sacred. We're not to sit back and let people vandalize churches, synagogues, and mosques, and especially our own, especially the three major holy sites on the earth. And you're correct. Allah is in charge. And then Allah also sets a thing in motion to see what will be your response. What will be your response? Will you stand out boldly for justice, as Allah says? The believer stands out boldly for justice, not mealy-mouthed, not afraid to say something that might you know hurt somebody's feelings. The idea is to establish justice, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have charged the believer with standing up boldly for justice. And Allah also, in the Quran, he gave the order to fight back, to fight them back, turn them out from where they turned you out. Allah also says, when the order comes to fight, you flinch. Fighting is prescribed for us as it was prescribed for those that came before us. Someone has to stand up for truth. And the believer is that someone that stands out for truth. So I'm only alerting us to the priorities of our holy sites. The Kaaba, the Masjid in Mecca, the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, the farthest mosque mentioned, Allah mentioned in the Quran, and the Prophet's Mosque in Medina. So we are not fatalists. We don't just sit back and bite our fingernails if those three sites are threatened. Okay, I'll move forward now and share with you We Can't Stop Now, Part 2.
I'll miss some of it. I'll just go past some of this. But what I want to say is this. Many people have been the victims of inhuman, demonic, horrible oppression. And I, as a student of the ways of God and man, I'm convinced that this was the will of God that we be put on slave ships and be brought to this country, this continent. I'm convinced it was the will of God. They could not have done it if God had not accepted it as our faith
that would put us in a situation to come out of it as a reborn people. And Scripture talks of it. They see how the metal, the cross metal, is put into the refiner's fire, and how the impurities is made to separate from the purities of the metal, and a better and more durable and pure substance is created because it has been put into the fire. Plantation life in America up until the 60s was hellfire. It was a fiery furnace fired up by the demons, warped-minded white people who had lost their sense of what Christ really was to them. And they had done this to us. They had put us in the fiery furnace, but it didn't burn out anything but our impurity. The pure at heart has survived. It had only burnt out our impurity. Now we are ready as a new people to serve our God and to lead humanity back to humanity. Yes, God has prepared us to use us in this conclusion of things for man on the earth. Yes, this is the day of religion, this is the conclusion of things. He has prepared us to use us in this day of the conclusion of things so that we will be a witness to them that God is God. And there is but one God, the one who created man and everything. And that no matter what happens for his human brother in the world, he has power to re-establish them as he intended for them to be established. So I'm not worried about CCC. God is in charge. I'm not worried about Tom Trump. God is in charge. Someone say, oh, you gotta be careful why you might reverse and have us in slavery yet. I'm not worried about writing. God is in charge. And God has always been in charge. And your calendar is wrong. God's calendar is short. It seems like it was just last week that you had racism, other racism, staring us in the face, in the south, and in the north. I experienced it also in Chicago. It seems like it was just yesterday also. It is gone. Oh, I mean, no, it's not gone. So how are you getting rid of it? You're free. It ain't gone. You're getting rid of it. You're free. We need to call you. I'll help you get rid of it. I'll do my part. Maybe more than my part. I'll do some of your part too, because I know you're much weaker than I am. If you think racism is still a big issue, look at here. The need for us to be responsible for ourselves and our families and our houses and our apartments and our neighborhoods, our children and our block and the trouble on our block. That's the biggest issue right now, but it. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. For all of our troubles, for the innocent, for the innocent. It's nothing but test, power and test, and a divine fire to drive out from us the impurity so that we will become a pure people, like refined iron and steel. It becomes harder. It becomes more resistant to rain and rust. It becomes harder and more durable and long lasting. So you should be a very special people. The man who saved my father, he said, I can sit on the top of the world. He wasn't talking about what he saw then. He was talking about what God had just been to envision that would come out of us in the future. That America would open up, and we would have a chance to really establish our life ourselves. He said, I can sit on top of the world. A future picture he saw, and I can tell anyone that the most beautiful nation is in the wilderness of North America. And he was talking about the nation of Islam and the members that he had brought together under Muhammad and under Muhammad, my father, for no more than 3 years, education from Georgia. A man that didn't know nothing. He didn't know anything but just existing in America and trying to fight for his life like a nice animal, like a nice girl, a deer, like a nice rabbit. That's all he knew. And a man came and picked up me for a scepter of his hand, as God will, a condition to forge you into the wonderful, bright, and brilliant future that God has made, the new African America, and a new Africa on these shores. Isn't that wonderful?
Alhamdulillah, I've been informed that we only have 90 seconds of broadcast time left, and we are grateful to share the Jumu'ah here on American Muslim 360 every Friday on Jumu'ah Day. Praise be to Allah. And we are grateful to Imam Yahya Abdullah and the community of Muhammad's Masjid in from Jacksonville, Florida, for sharing their Jumu'ah with us. The theme for Imam Yahya's Jumu'ah khutbah was, be mindful of Allah's favors. Those of you that are familiar with us here on American Muslim 360, you know we have chosen some of us as our closing theme, the song by Abdul Rahman Hatim, We've Got to Be Thankful. So Imam Yahya giving the last Jumu'ah of this year, of this Julian calendar year, chose that as the theme for his khutbah. Praise be to Allah. And also we do not fear, we're not afraid. We defend what is right. We speak out boldly for justice, and it's not just justice for Muslims. It's justice for people all over the earth. There are many refugees now that have been separated from their homeland, and our hearts and our prayers go out to them. And if we can assist them monetarily with our few little pennies, we'll do that, inshallah. So I invite you to tune back into American Muslim 360 this evening at 7 p.m. for the 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the broadcast of Community Developmental Stages and Community Buzz. It is hosted by our beloved sister Martha Naila Abdullah. It's a wonderful broadcast. The structure of community development in stages. And the second half of that broadcast is Community Buzz. It gives the believer a chance to publicize local events that's happening across this country. Praise be to Almighty God. We are grateful to have this platform, and fortunately it worked up to a point. I had the trouble getting on, but praise be to Allah, Allah is in charge at all times. So we came to you with the greetings of peace. We leave you with the greetings of peace in the Quranic Arabic language of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. May we purify our intentions, keep our hearts right, keep up our prayers, remain regardful of Almighty God, Allah, and remain grateful for what Allah has done for us, for what Allah is doing for us, and what Allah shall do for us. We have to remain grateful and thankful. I bring you now the voice. Oh, yes, before I leave the air, Allah asked a question of us in the 55th surah of the Quran entitled Rahman, or Mercy, Mercy. Allah says throughout that chapter, فَبِأَيِّ أَلَّا إِرَبِكُمَا تُكَذِبَانِ, which of the two favors of your Lord will you deny? We got to be mindful of Allah's favors. So I bring you now the voice of Abdul Rahman Hatim. We got to be thankful.
We've Starbucks fresh brewed coffee as I stumble down the stairs. Tiptoe by the bedroom where my children used to sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls still keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off to work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and let a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
gotta be grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy who lives down the street who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough and he tries to understand. He said, mister, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand? Well, I think about the days gone by and I think my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, you gotta be alright, you gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be,
you gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to Columbus and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere. And our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their families. But they gotta be alright, they gotta do the best that they can. Try and make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful, they gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life their life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful.
Thank you. like delight, for the warm rays of sunshine, God of light of night, friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Say they gotta be thankful.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. The peace that only Almighty God can give. Juma Mubarak. May we have a blessed Juma day. Assalamu alaikum.